Hey, welcome back to Jude's Sports Report, and thank you for joining me. Today we're going to be talking about my picks for the NFL wildcard rounds coming up this weekend for the playoffs. We have some great matchups, and I'm going to be talking about what will factor into each of those matchups. So without further ado, let's just jump into it. So first, we're going to start with the 11-5 Indianapolis Colts taking on the 13-3 Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. First, it is worth noting that there will be fans in attendance, which means that the Bills Mafia will be very loud, even though in limited capacity. The Bills Mafia is known to be the strongest and loudest fan base in the NFL, maybe finishing just in front of the 12th man in Seattle, so that is sure to make a difference in this game. But what will really make a difference is Josh Allen's dynamic playmaking abilities. That paired along with the number one receiver in the league this year in yardage, Stephon Diggs, also a great complimentary receiver, Cole Beasley, the speedster John Brown, and a young young player Gabriel Davis will just be too much for Indianapolis to beat. But if the Colts do want to have any chance in this game, here's a few things that they need to do. First off, is they need to obviously shut down Josh Allen and his scrambling game. If they can shut down Josh Allen, they have a real chance at winning this game. Second thing they need to do is Jonathan Taylor needs to stay on his hot streak. When Jonathan Taylor is running the ball well, the Colts are very good. However, when the whole rushing offense, which includes Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor, and Jordan Wilkins, is off, the Colts are not very good offensively. So if Jonathan Taylor can continue his hot streak, they may have a chance in this game. For Buffalo to overpower the Colts, there are a few things that they need to do too. First is they need to shut down Jonathan Taylor in the run game, and also apply good quarterback pressure, as Phillip Rivers is vulnerable when he is under pressure because he cannot scramble. He is getting older, so his running ability has decreased, so that would be the best way to stop him. My projection for this game is a Buffalo win 30-24. Now heading into our other AFC matchups, the Kansas City Chiefs have a bye this week, so they will not be playing anyone. They will be playing the winner of the Bills-Colts game, which I think will be the Bills, and I'll have a new episode on those divisional rounds next week. But for these wild card games in the AFC, next we have the Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was just announced today that Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns head coach, has contracted COVID-19, the coronavirus, and he will not be in attendance at the game. I don't think this will affect the game very much because I believe he will inform his offensive and defensive coordinators on everything that he is thinking about prior to the game over Zoom or whatnot. And I'm sure that they can run the game perfectly fine. But it is worth noting that Joel Bentonio, the Pro Bowl guard, is also out with COVID. This really matters because Baker Mayfield is not very good when under pressure, and losing a Pro Bowl guard could be devastating for that Browns offense. I believe that the Steelers will win this game. The Browns and Steelers faced off in Week 17 last week, and the Steelers benched Big Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, and Marquise Pouncey, and still only lost by 2 points, whereas the Browns started everyone. That goes to show that the Steelers, with their four best starters back in the game, will win this game. But if the Browns want to have a chance to win this, there are a few things that need to happen. First is Baker Mayfield needs to throw the ball downfield. They cannot rely on the rushing game, even though it is very powerful with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They're both not always hot. So Baker throwing the ball downfield will really matter. Baker only had 190 yards last game with only one touchdown. So airing the ball out more will definitely help. Second is both Chubb and Hunt will need to have big games running the ball. Hunt is more a dynamic in the pass game, which will also help Baker. And last but not least, the receiving core needs to step up to help Baker Mayfield. He lost Odell Beckham Jr. Earlier in the season, but Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins, Jonathan Peoples-Jones, David Njoku, Austin Hooper need to step up and give Baker a hand in this matchup. If the Steelers want to have a commanding win, there are a few things that also need to happen. James Conner needs to be much better. He was averaging a little over 4 yards per carry, which isn't awful, but isn't great. Only 37 yards last week on 9 carries, I believe. And one thing that is also worth noting is Joe Hayden, the cornerback on the Steelers, has COVID and probably will not be available for this game. Something that needs to happen for Pittsburgh is Big Ben Roethlisberger and the wide receiving core need to work together well. They have a loaded wide receiving core with Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, and Chase Claypool, but they always seem to have some struggles, whether it's dropping the ball or just not enough chemistry with Big Ben. So if that can fix, they will have a commanding win in this game. My projection for this game is a Steelers win over the Browns 27-24. Moving on to our last AFC wildcard matchup, we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans. This should be the game of the weekend, as the Titans and Ravens faced off in the divisional round last season, and the Titans surprised everyone with a win over Baltimore. I project that the Ravens will win this game, 31-27, but if the Titans want to win this, here are some things that they need to do. Obviously, Derrick Henry needs to have a big game. When Henry is running well, the whole offense runs better because they can run it through the play action, which then allows receivers like A.J. Brown to get open and Tannehill to be able to throw to them. The Titans' defense has been very bad this season, and they need to stop Lamar and J.K. Dobbins in the run game if they want to have a chance at winning this game. The Baltimore Ravens have not been very good passing the ball this season, so the Titans' defense's main focus should be stopping the run. For the Ravens, if they want to have a commanding win over the Titans, Lamar and J.K. Dobbins obviously need to both have big run games, and Lamar cannot make mistakes in the pass game. The defense needs to shut down Derrick Henry and force the play action to not be able to be used. Like I said, I project a 31-27 Baltimore win over Tennessee, and this should be a great matchup as it has two of the smartest coaches in the league, I believe, Mike Vrabel and John Harbaugh. Although most of these matchups have very smart coaches. So this is a great one to watch. Moving on to the NFC, we're going to start with the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. I actually have two different projections for this game. One, I have the Rams winning in, and the other, I have the Seahawks winning in. And I'll tell you why. That's because Jared Goff is currently questionable after having thumb surgery last week. After the broken thumb he suffered against Seattle 2 weeks ago in the Week 16 matchup. I believe that with Goff in, the Rams will win 24-21 against the Seahawks, and with Goff out and John Wolford in, I believe the Rams will lose to the Seahawks 21-10. We know that the Rams' defense can shut down this powerful Seattle offense. We saw them do it earlier in the season, where Jalen Ramsey locked up DK Metcalf, and Aaron Donald was a wrecking force in the pass rush, as he always is, along with Leonard Floyd. But also the Seattle defense has looked better recently. Not anywhere close to the Rams' skill level, but they have looked better after being one of the worst defenses in the league. They've improved greatly. It's also worth noting that if Goff comes back, he may have some extra help, as Andrew Whitworth might be coming back, and Joe Noteboom might also be coming back off of injury. Having both of those guys out there, Andrew Whitworth being an all-pro, Pro Bowl guard who got injured this season, early in the season, and Joe Noteboom, who filled in for Whitworth has been playing great, he would take the spot of another lineman, and Whitworth and Noteboom would be out there together. Seattle at CenturyLink Field in Seattle is 7-1, and this game will be played at home for the Seahawks. Even without fans, the Seahawks still seem to succeed always at home, so that could be a problem for the Rams. I don't think it'll be too much of a problem, but it's worth mentioning. Jamal Adams and Chris Carson are both nursing some injuries, which is significant for the Seahawks. I also believe that if the Rams pass rush, featuring Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd, is on in this game this upcoming weekend, the Seahawks will not stand a chance, because Russell Wilson is being guarded by one of the worst offensive lines in the league. He was sacked 47 times this season. So if Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd are providing good pressure, even a great scrambler like Russ won't have a chance in this game. Anyways, Goff ruled out. Seahawks win 21-10. Goff active and healthy. Rams win 24-21. Next, we have the Washington football team taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Washington. Washington, even though they have a much worse record, they won their division, so they will have home field advantage, although there will be no fans in attendance. This game, I believe Tampa Bay will win, but if Washington wants to have a chance in this game, there are some things they need to do, and if they do these, they may just win this game. First of all, Washington does have a better defense than Tampa, and although Tampa does have a very good defense, but Tampa will be missing some of their best stars this game. Devin White has already been ruled out, and Jason Pierre-Paul is questionable. They will still have Shaq Barrett, though. Whereas the Washington football team will have Chase Young, Kendall Fuller, Montez Sweat, all available. Then we look at the offenses of both teams. Very different situations. The Washington football team has Alex Smith, a great comeback story. Everyone loves Alex Smith, but he is not as skilled as Tom Brady in the pass game. So, therefore, the Washington football team passing attack does not quite compare to the Bucs. That is also because of the receiving core. Alex Smith only has Terry McLaurin really to work with and Logan Thomas, whereas Tom Brady has Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, Cameron Brate. He has all these weapons, although Mike Evans is questionable for this game. Looking at the running game, I believe that the football team has the advantage. Antonio Gibson is questionable to play in this game, but I believe that he will play, and I believe that when he is in, he is much better than Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette. Jones has had a great year this year, but Antonio Gibson does seem to be the better player, in my opinion. But he is questionable, and Terry McLaurin is questionable as well. If both of them are out, look for J.D. McKissic and Peyton Barber to cover the running game. J.D. McKissic, a great dynamic running back, pass catching abilities, so he may help out Alex Smith. He will be used a lot in this game, whether Antonio Gibson is active or not. And also look for, if Terry McLaurin is out, look for Logan Thomas and Cam Sims to fill that role. If Mike Evans is out, there really won't be too much of a problem for the Buccaneers. It will definitely be noticeable, as Mike Evans is Tom Brady's favorite target because of his height, his route running abilities, and his hands. But Tom Brady will still have Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, and Cameron Brate to throw to, along with Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette in the backfield. I do believe that Tampa Bay's offense will overcome Washington's tough defense to win the game 20-14. Last but not least for the NFC. Oh, and also the Packers have a first-round bye, so they will not be playing anyone in the wild card. They will just go to the divisional rounds right away. Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints taking on the Chicago Bears in the New Orleans Superdome. I believe that the Saints will win this game fairly easily, but you never know. I just think that the Saints defense will be too much for the Bears offense. Although the Bears offense has been playing great recently, I think the Saints defense will still be too much for them to overcome. If the Bears want to have a chance in this game, David Montgomery needs to make a big difference in this game. He's been playing great recently, and he needs to keep that up so he can help Mitch Trubisky when he most likely struggles. Mitch Trubisky does not have a great reputation overall as a passer in the NFL. He has been playing well recently. I don't think he has been playing well enough to take on the Saints defense and beat them, but we will see. Some of the Saints defense players that will make things hard for Trubisky and the rest of the offense, which features David Montgomery, Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. The Saints defense features players like Trey Hendrickson, a standout linebacker this year for the Saints, who recorded, I believe, 12.5 sacks, finishing tied for second with Aaron Donald in sacks, just behind T.J. Watt. Cam Jordan, who's been stellar his entire career coming out of Cal Berkeley, where he was great there, and Marshon Lattimore in the secondary, along with Malcolm Jenkins, a veteran. So David Montgomery, Mitch Trubisky, and Allen Robinson and Matt Nagy certainly have their work cut out for them. But we will see what the Bears need to do on the defensive end, of the game. Is if Alvin Kamara is active, he tested positive for COVID a couple days ago. If he is active for this game, they need to find a way to shut him down. Drew Brees is not a great downfield passer anymore as he's gotten older, so he loves to dump the ball off to Kamara on the side and obviously run the ball to Kamara. So if they can find a way to shut down Alvin Kamara, they will have a real shot at winning this game. Michael Thomas is on IR and will miss this game, so the Bears don't have to worry about guarding him. But their cornerback, Buster Skrine, is out of this game, I believe. Brees will be forced to throw to, if Kamara is out, he'll be forced to mostly throw, and Latavius Murray will, if Kamara is out, Latavius Murray would also be out, because they both have coronavirus. So he will be forced to mostly throw, and he will need to throw the ball downfield to guys like Jared Cook and Tre'Quan Smith. Another thing the Bears have to do is Trubisky has to make good decisions with the football. Trubisky, just like I said, does not have a very good reputation as a quarterback in the NFL. If he can change that narrative with a commanding win, a commanding performance in this game, he may have a shot at getting a contract extension this offseason. But more importantly, he needs to win this game first. And my projection for this game, if Alvin Kamara is active, I project a 27-17 New Orleans win. If Kamara is not active, a 20-17 New Orleans win. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I really hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned because I'll have a episode coming out next week on the divisional rounds for the NFL playoffs. Thank you.